The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
All through Scripture, what God is saying is, if you'll put me first, I can take care of everything else. And what I want to do is a work in your heart, not just a work in your finances. I want to do a work in your heart. If you'll put me first, watch what happens in every area of your life when I'm first.
Robert Morris helps us understand God's desire to change our hearts and guide us to the blessed life. Next.
Welcome to Life Today. I hope you're blessed today. I would say I'm blessed. Tammy, would you say that you're blessed?
Yeah, I definitely would. I feel it, and it's not a fake blessed. Mm-hmm. I really do feel blessed.
Well, our guest today is Robert Morris, and he has taught on the blessed life for many years now. In fact, I think one of the early places he taught was right here, because okay. Robert's been around here forever.
That's right,
yeah. And been very close to the ministry and close to my dad, mm-hmm. has been to the mission field with us, has taught many times, and this teaching on the blessed life impacted so many people in such a positive way that we wanted to take this occasion, on the occasion of our 60th anniversary, celebrating my parents' marriage and ministry, which I think is great. A great example for my family.
For sure. That's so special. And I love your family. They have been that for me too, a great example for so many years. I just love them so much.
Well, we appreciate it. And we've received so many kind words from so many of you. I would say thank you on behalf of our family. Yeah. But the blessed life really is instructive. It gets into why God blesses us, how He blesses us, and how we can be a blessing to others. And it may not be exactly like what you've heard before, but I think what He's teaching is right on scripturally. So we want you to take a look at this. We know it'll bless you. Share it with others if you know someone else that wants to understand what God's blessing looks like in the lives of believers. Please let them know. You can always catch all these programs on lifetoday.org. And then if you don't have your own copy of The Blessed Life, stick around. We'll tell you how we can send it to you today when you reach out and bless others. But right now, sit back and enjoy The Blessed Life with Robert Morris.
Robert Morris is here. We're talking about this book that has taken the message around the world. It's called The Blessed Life. And it was first taught right here when he was asked by our son-in-law, why don't you teach this? I've not done this. And boy, oh boy, oh boy. And you actually have to sit down and for the first time try to write a book, which you didn't even know.
I did lend a tape recorder.
Okay. So. You dictated it.
In 3 days.
That's crazy.
And, I mean, books, you know, have taken over a year for me to write since then. I think 19 books since then. And 3 days. And then we self-published it.
Yep.
Sold 250,000 copies self-published. Millions now, like 40-something languages around the world. And just to let everyone know, to brag on what God's done, because this was my first book, and we're going to talk about giving the first to God, mm-hmm. I felt like God wanted me to give this book to Him. And so all the royalties have gone to building the kingdom.
Millions of dollars to the kingdom, which, by the way, you just need to know this. Robert had no idea, and he talked yesterday. You do need to get blessed life. You say, well, why? Because God wants you to live a blessed life. And Jesus said, if you want to find life, see, you really may think, well, I got an idea what great life is. No. He knows exactly what great life is. And He said, if you really want to find it, lose it for me. Now, what does that mean? For my kingdom purpose, with me in kingdom purpose, the King is here. There's a kingdom to come. There's a kingdom that has come. And a lot of people don't make kingdom impact in this life. Sometimes because things get so full of pressure that we think we just got to get to the next kingdom. And even His disciples, after 3 years listening to Him, and He's about to ascend, they said, you gonna set the kingdom up now? He said, hang on, dudes. I'm leaving you here to be witnesses, to be ambassadors. I'm leaving you here to make a kingdom impact on planet Earth. release the weight of my power and my person and who I am all over this planet, because this earth is my garden. Heaven and earth is mine. You're my overseers. Now you get busy doing what I left you here to do. That's what this is about. And so that's the reason we're talking to you about right now, with all the pressure, in the midst of the pressure, we have a certain hope. We have a sure hope. We have an armor. We have a shield. We have a helmet of salvation. We can be overcomers in this life, in this kingdom, in the darkness. We can be a shining light that disperses the darkness and reveals the greatness that is before us because of the greatness of our King and our Father that is here in us right now. So that's really what this is about. Now, Robert, you know, one of the things people don't seem to get, we talk about losing our life in His kingdom purpose, and then we'll keep learning what that kingdom purpose looks like even more and more. But one of the things you pointed out in this, and I can tell you're sitting right here, it's overflowing, because first things first really matters.
Yes.
I mean, all the other commandments are not going to fit right if you don't put God first.
Right.
And if you don't love God with all your heart, you sure don't love yourself right, and you'll never really love your neighbor quite like you should. So first things first, and boy, did God download that on you.
Big time. He did, and that really is the first commandment of the 10, is to put God first. But when you think about putting God first and you think about finances, Jesus said where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So where I put my treasure first is where my heart is. It's where my heart follows my treasure.
Wow.
So when I started looking at tithing and all the controversy around it, and Old Testament or New, or do the Levites do it, or storehouse, or what is it? Here's what I thought. What's the principle? What is the principle behind tithing? And the principle is put God first. It's the first 10%. It's all through Scripture. You know, when they went in the Promised Land, He said, bring all of the silver and gold from Jericho into the temple. Why Jericho? It's the first city. You know, when you have your sheep has a lamb, give the first one. It takes faith to give the first one. It doesn't take faith to give the 10th one, or the one that's getting in your garden all the time. That doesn't take faith. It takes faith to give the first one before you have other nine. So God, all through Scripture, even Cain and Abel, go back all the way to Cain and Abel. God accepted Abel's offering, and it says very clearly, because it was the firstborn. He didn't accept Cain's offering because it was not first fruits.
Wow.
All through Scripture, what God is saying is, if you'll put me first, I can take care of everything else. And what I want to do is a work in your heart, not just a work in your finances. I want to do a work in your heart. And so when you look at it all through Scripture, when we put God first, and that's really what tithing is, no matter what you believe about where it goes, this or that, 10% to me is just that it's fair. If you make $30,000 or $300,000, it's a penny on every dime. So I think God puts something that's fair to everyone, but what He's really trying to do is say, if you'll put me first, watch what happens in every area of your life when I'm first.
Could you explain, Biddy, when you hear this as a homemaker, how does that hit you? How does that come across, God being first? Because, you know, I think you remember, and Robert, I hadn't read Blessed Life, I didn't even know you. But we actually gave all the money, the ministry had a need. At that time, ministry was just evangelism, winning people to Christ. And we got all the equity out of the first little house that we had. You wouldn't believe it. It was a brick house, and our payments were just over $100 a month. Can you believe that? But when we sold it, we got $30,000. And so we made about $10,000 above what was in it, and we gave it away. Now, here's the real kicker. We had a nice home and that we bought later, we were able to get. And God told us to give that entire house to the ministry. This is before I ever read your book, where you talk about giving away the house, the cars, and everything. And Betty, it was a big deal. I'd never read the book, but I understood God said, give it to ministry. The ministry budget back then was less than $1 million a year. And now you know what's happened to the ministry all over the world.
Yeah.
The millions, 25 million lives or more come to Christ, and 17 million, we've been told, just in feeding alone saved, and then millions with water wells. See, just doing that, look at the river that flowed, because people that watch and hear what you're teaching, what happens when you put Him first, it's not a way to get somewhere. It's a way to do what he said do so that he really is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And when he's first, other things seem to fall in place. It's almost like he organizes in so many ways all the difficult challenges that we face. Is that exactly what you've experienced?
It's exactly what I've experienced. And it's the same thing with getting saved. You know, we don't just add God to our list. We put God first in our life. And when we do that, everything can come into order. When God's not first, nothing can come into order. And so in the finances, because Jesus is the one that said it, you know, it wasn't in my book, it was in his, it's in his book, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There's something that changes and there's something that happened in your hearts when you said, we want to put the kingdom first. Even when we sell this house, we want to put the kingdom first.
And also, to me, in putting him first, come to the realization of that, because I think a lot of people normally think, oh, me, hard thing, bad things are coming, I put him first, I'll have nothing, you know. Yeah. But what it has really come to mean to me is, yes, God has blessed us so much. He really has, and I love to bless God, too. And as I bless God, he blesses me. But also, putting him first means when those tough times come, when those heartbreaks come, he's first.
Yeah.
He's still first, and he fulfills all that. He takes away and heals all that hurt or all that disappointment you might have to come. He's first. So he's right there in the midst.
Yeah.
When we were talking about where you would launch this church that God led you to, and really a lot of pretty sad things where really some things weren't handled exactly right that moved you from where you thought you were headed to go out not knowing where, just knowing who I'm following, and we began to pray about it. Interestingly, you settled in what, when we moved out here to the community 50 years ago of Colleyville, South Lake was nothing but cow pastures. I teased about our son Randy when he was 9, hit 2 home runs in one night when we were playing South Lake, their little league team. Well, it wasn't that he hit the ball very far. The lighting at South Lake was so poor they couldn't find the ball. So Randy got 2 home runs. Well, the lighting in South Lake's quite good now.
Yeah, right?
Well, you came out here in an area that was rapidly growing when you came, which is what, 20 years ago now.
Yeah.
And so it was what some people say, well, it was kind of an upper-end community, wasn't it? Kind of upscale. Oh, yes, it was. It got really upscale, but now keep listening here. Robert, those are the toughest people on the planet to get to put God first.
Yeah.
Jesus said it's easier for, get this is Jesus talking, easier for a camel to go through a needle than a rich man to enter heaven. In the areas that were booming up around the last 20 years where Gateway is, the toughest kind of people on the planet to put God first. But they did it, and they became among the most amazing people on the planet at reaching out to the overlooked, the least of these, and putting God's arms of love around people. Robert, when you start flashing what Gateway Church as kingdom people, you call them kingdom builders, and I say, and they're kingdom impact people. They release the weight of God's presence, the weight of his power all over his planet, his garden. And Robert, when they start showing what we do for single moms, what we do for marriages, what we do for the overlooked, what we do for orphans, what we do for the hungry, what we do for Israel, I mean, it's just endless. And so what we're seeing is the impossible happen with people who don't get it. But when you get it, it is the most amazing thing you'll see on this earth. It's the kingdom of God revealed through kingdom-building people, through the body of Christ, the church, that doesn't allow the gates of hell, of deception and destruction and division to prevail. If he's first, the body of Christ has the ability to walk over the enemy's intentions like dust under our feet. Isaiah said in Isaiah 51, we can say, this is the kingdom to come he's talking about. Not the last kingdom where there is no enemy. It's where the tormentors are. You'll say to the tormentors, you're no longer going to tell us to lay down, and you walk on us like a smooth road. That day's coming to a screeching halt. And right in that discourse there, he begins to point to the King of Kings. And boy, have you showed the toughest people on the planet to get their attention, that when they put God first, all of a sudden, you don't just have a big house, you have a beautiful home that lives in that house and a beautiful family. Does what I'm saying make sense? Is this in line with what you preach?
Well, we've seen it change people's lives right at our church, but all over the world.
All over the world.
But it's like what you're saying. It changes us on the inside. All of a sudden, we're not living for what we can get anymore.
Right.
We're living for what we can give, who we can help. And think about this. God has all the resources in the world and out of the world, for that matter. He's got everything. And then over here, we've got people that don't even have clean water.
Yep, you got it.
I mean, they don't even have water for their babies. And here's God with everything. So what's in the middle? We are. He wants to get the resources to these people. He's got the resources. He's just looking for someone who will trust him, that if we'll put him first and we'll just trust and do whatever we can do, then God's going to give us more to be able to help more people. And this whole truth of God giving us more got so twisted to where I'm going to give so I can get more. But what God was saying, no, give so you can give more. We're trying to help these people over here. And that's exactly what we saw at Gateway Church. That's what we've seen at Life Today, because I've been on the field.
Yep.
I've seen the wells. I've seen the feeding programs. I've seen the need. And I've looked into the camera and asked your viewers, please, please help, because there's a need. And here's God up there thinking, if I could just find a channel, a river, someone who will trust me and help other people, I can bless other people through them, but I can also bless them and bless their families.
What a great teaching. And you know, what I find very interesting about that, Tammy, is that Robert doesn't just preach it, he does it.
Yeah, he lives it completely. And I love seeing him out in the field. I don't think I realized that he actually went out in the field with you guys. So it truly, when he's teaching about giving a blessed life and living it well, I mean, he's really practiced it, and it's probably something he just walks out every single day.
Yeah, and I think the core of that, what I get from what Robert teaches is that it's obedience. It's learning to hear the voice of the shepherd.
Right.
You know, Jesus said that his sheep know his voice. And then the secret, really, if we want to call it a secret, is doing it.
Oh, yes.
It's obedience. It's obeying, you know, hearing and doing, not just hearers of the word, but doing it only, which is why I think it's critical, as Robert endorsed, to actually reach out and help those in need. And the need is great, but boy, the opportunity is even greater. And the opportunity is to save lives. And Tammy, you've been out in the field with us. You've been to the places where we're handing out these bowls of the nutritional soup mix to children who are on the edge of malnutrition, in some cases starvation, and in worst cases, death.
Yeah.
You've seen the effect, and it's so hard to see it, but yet it's so encouraging to know we can do something about it.
Yeah, I mean, I love that you have this bowl right here on display, because it takes me right back to maybe a small little village, maybe someplace in Africa, and just sitting in front of this big mix of soup and knowing that what's inside of that is so nutritional for these children, and then to be able to hand them one after another one of these bowls, Randy. It truly is such a privilege. I know that I am handing them, through the help of this ministry, life.
Yeah, and you know, you feel blessed because you're doing what Jesus told us to do.
Yes.
And
yes,
that's the core of the blessed life. I want you to get the blessed life, so request it today. But most of all, I want you to bless someone else today. Mm. Someone who is in a very, very difficult situation, a life or death situation. Watch this and see how you can really be that blessing today.
I've just been talking to this mother, Wawok, and she had seven children. Four of those seven children are now dead. Died at different occasions, but all because of the same thing. Simply a lack of food. They starved to death.
Come on, quiet with him, but I could go there. I had to go to the room together. Another guy knew that he couldn't go in the room.
I asked her if she has hope. She said, no, there isn't hope. But then she said, but because you've come here and visited me, I do have some hope. Some hope that you'll be able to help me to feed my children. We're here, we're prepared to do anything and everything that it takes. But we can't do that without the resources that we need. Please do whatever you can do.
I'm so taken by the burden that that little guy, her little son, must carry every single day. When he was talking and you just saw the tear fall from his eyes, I think that was a moment that it just was overwhelming for me to think that he was trying so hard to fix this for his family, that he wanted to stay in school, to think that maybe one day he could provide a better life for them. The weight that he must carry, the burden he must carry every single day, and how devastating that must be as a mother to know that she's limited, that there's only so much she can do to provide food for her children every day. I'm grateful that she's still hanging on to hope. I'm grateful that even it's just even a little bit. Times she said she felt hopeless, but she's hanging on a little bit. So I feel like today that my hope for you would be that you would consider helping her to hang on a little bit more by helping to provide food for her and her children so that she doesn't have to worry every night whether they may make it through the night, whether they may survive. We can offer more hope to not just this family, but hundreds of thousands of families by bringing in food every day to these children so that they can survive. And I'm asking you today if you'd consider partnering with us. If you've partnered with us before, thank you so much. It means so much to us. If you've never had an opportunity to, I would ask that you take some time to pray about that and ask God, is there something He'd lay on your heart today? Is there something that you could do? And honestly, I believe we can. I think we all have a part to play in this need that's around the world. We all have something that we can do. We are committed to feeding 350,000 children every single day, which is incredible, Randy. It's an incredible gift that God has given us through you that we can now give to these families and children.
Yeah, and one thing I do think it's important for people to understand is that this is an emergency food program. You wonder, well, why wouldn't they just leave or go somewhere else or plant a different crop? It's not linear in time. Things happen, a drought, a flood, religious persecution in some places right now, other types of displacing events, conflicts, things sneak up on people in a sense who are otherwise working, like the young boy said, his mother works very hard, providing for themselves, caring for their families, but it just takes a short amount of time for things to go bad very fast. Quickly, children will spiral downward. Which is why when we say, look, a gift of $100 would feed 10 children for the next 3 months, that may be the difference in life and death for them.
Right.
That time to get them back physically into a nourished place where they can go to school or help, you know, around the house or in the fields. We're looking for people who will partner and say, look, I will reach out into the world where people are hurting in the worst of times. And yeah, I'll help them for a little while here. I'll give $1,000 if I can to help 100 children for the next 3 months. We're asking you to do what you can because they are doing all that they can. But we need to work together to save lives. Will you go to the phone or go online and give the best gift you can? We know that when you do, it will make a difference. But we need you to take action. Do it now. Help save a life today.
Across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you 365 days of courage. Filled with scriptures and words of encouragement, this daily devotional will give you the confidence that comes from knowing how God sees you. Take courage in Christ's love and be ready to conquer each day. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Blessing Framed Art. This beautiful wall art will grace your home or office and serve as a daily reminder of God's blessing and kindness over your family. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Consider the Birds, inspired by Jesus' words in Matthew 6:26. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Make the best gift you can today. Request Robert Morris's book, The Blessed Life. You will be blessed when you're a blessing to others. Tammy, I'm so excited that people are partnering with us.
I know. It means so much. Yeah. And they just keep giving. And I love that they don't grow weary.
Yeah,
they see the need and they don't grow weary. And if you're starting to feel like you are, then keep pushing through because we really do need you. We appreciate you so much. Thank you for taking the time to watch and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
I think people spend more time planning for a 2-week vacation than they plan for where they're going to spend eternity.
Getting ready for heaven next week. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.